Off the Ball. GAA.
Everybody said they wouldn't win the All-In, and they won the All-In!
Yeah! Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
It is the most wonderful time of the year. If you are a racing fan, this is Christmas. This actually is Christmas. All your Christmases come at Christmas because you get the Racing Post on Christmas Eve. It has 13 meetings or whatever it is on Stephen's Day, Boxing Day, whatever you're having yourself. And it gets you through Christmas Day, which can be quite boring. And then you have this extravaganza of action beginning at Leopardstown for 4 days. This is episode 56 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with Johnny Ward and Tom Bugsy Malone, who's standing in. How are you?
I'm very good, Johnny. I'm very good. And as you said, it really is the most wonderful time of the year. Genuinely cannot wait. And looking forward to see what Irish horses board the boat ahead of Christmas.
Well, on that, I'm going to come back to that very shortly because I'm just going to remind you that we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews and crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second half is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. And this week for members, we'll focus on Saturday's cards at Ascot, Haydock and Thurles. And we'll also get a charity bet. I have a 5-1 shot, so subscribe now. But the free-to-air section is probably the meatier part of the show. And we just happen to have... We don't have Jimmy Mangan, who trains Spillane's Tower, who has been supplemented for the King George on the 26th, Boxing Day or Stephen's Day. But we do have Jane Mangan, who of course was a very good rider, but now she's a William Hill ambassador and a TV presenter extraordinaire, Jane. And you also happen to have an affinity for Spillane's Tower, so you have everything to offer on the show today.
Johnny, I know I'm the compensation prize. Jimmy's busy training the horses and... was making sure, I'd say, Mary and himself were up the walls, making sure, I'd say they've never had to supplement a horse in their lives. So make sure they didn't do anything wrong, that we won't have any logistical nightmares. But yeah, the horse is, all the plans are in place for him to cross the water. I'd say Jimmy's probably checking whether his passport is in date. I can't imagine he's been on a plane in the last 20 years. So it is really exciting. It'll be a Christmas, a bit different for us. We're usually... pairing horses for Drumahan on the 30th, not Kempton on the 26th. So there's a little bit of a magical feeling.
So if you're listening on the radio and you're not into racing, Jane, can you actually just explain what supplementing is and why this Christmas is utterly magical, potentially anyway, for the Mangan household?
Well, last year we knew we had a good horse because Spillane's Tower won a pair of Grade 1 novice chases. But you don't really know what you have in open company until you take on what I deem heavyweights like Gallop and Deschamps and Faster Flow. So we went to the John Durkin to try and find out what material we were really playing with. And credit to Mam and Dad, they could have taken an easier route. They could have got a different race. They could have went to England, but they didn't. But because we have an early closing race in the King George, the understanding was that we wouldn't put Spillane's Tower in it until he deemed himself worthy of the entry. And I think when he ran second to Factor File with Gallop and Deschamps and Fastest Flow behind him, we then knew this horse is worth it. He's that good. And he's potentially even better because he's the youngest horse in the race. You know, he's a year younger than Factor File. So he was supplemented for a fee of £4,600 this morning, Friday morning, morning of recording. To take his place amongst 14 confirmed horses. So amongst Corbett's Cross, Envoy Allen, Banbridge, Hewig, Brave Man's Game and Grey Dawning, amongst many others. So he's in the race. He worked during the week. Mark Walsh rode him during the week. He was happy with him. And Mam and Dad are happy with him. Obviously, we don't know yet whether Mark is going to ride him because he has the option of riding Corbett's Cross or also staying at home and going to Leopardstown. But we'd be very hopeful that he would ride him. And as... you know, Willie Wollins has said that he believes that, you know, Factor File will improve an awful lot for the John Durkin start. I think it's fair to say that Jimmy Mangan's horses tend to improve for a first run too.
I suppose that was one of the things to take out of it, wasn't it? That he ran so well first time out. And I suppose, Jane, we were expecting something decent, but that surely exceeded all hope and expectations, that how well he ran, like you said, against the heavyweights.
Yeah, like, I'll be honest, Tom, we probably have never dealt with a horse of that quality before. You know, Conor Caffrey was good, Monty Pass won a national, but in terms of this quality, it's a little bit like, how do you know you have a Gold Cup horse if you've never had one before? How do you know you have a champion hurdle horse if you've never had one before?
It's like falling in love, Jane. So,
I'll take your word for it, Johnny. I'll take your word for it.
Nice riposte, nice riposte. Back to the horses.
He's very good. He's very good. And I'll be honest, like, it is like winning the lotto. Like, we talk about the big stables, and it is a numbers game. If you logistically buy 100 lotto tickets and I buy 10, you know, you're 10 times more likely to win the lotto. Well, we have around 10 horses in training. And, you know, the next best horse is what? Rated 92 or something? So you tell me how lucky we are to have come across a horse like him. Not just good. He was good last year, but potentially...
Difficult is that in the day-to-day, though, Jane? Like, I mean, you have a horse who's 50 pounds better than everything else in the yard, at least 50, 60, maybe 70 pounds better than everything else in the yard. What... I mean, what do you do with him to keep him kind of sweet, keep him fit, find someone to lie up with him even?
Yeah, that's a great question. He's raised 165 now after the John Durkin, and I purely give all the credit to my mum and dad. They're training him on instinct. They have to train him on their eye because they can train him on, well, he worked with him last week and he's working better than him now. You know, there's no comparisons for us in terms of other horses to work him with. And he isn't flashing his work. Apparently, I'm not at home now. I must establish that. This is all my parents and the people at home who work with him and Patrick who rides him every day. He's not a flash workhorse and he is idle. So when he hits the front in his races, he will pull up. And we saw that at Fairy House. And I think we saw it at Punchestown as well. So if Mark Walsh is riding him at Kempton, I don't think we'll expect him to go forward any time before the last fence. But he's got a great mind, which I hope, touch wood, will help him travel over well. And he seems very straightforward. But he'll have to be. I was on a call earlier with AP McCoy and Barry Geraghty, who both won the King George. One won it on Best Mate and the other won it multiple times with Kicking King. And I think that's the caliber of horse it's going to require to win it this year. It looks deep. We've had a couple of lackluster renewals of the race. I think it'll take a Gold Cup winner, standard winner, to win it this year.
And the fascinating thing, Bugsy, as well, is like Banbridge is stepping up in trip. So this is he's a course winner, complete unknown. And the other thing I'll throw at you, what JP McManus is doing, whatever you think about like the punting operation and all of that, and JP McManus, what he does for a small trainer. This is my point about owners. Owners dictate where horses go, not trainers.
Absolutely.
So, and this would mean the world to so many people if this horse were to win the King George.
Yeah, I think, as Jane mentioned there have been one or two lackluster enough kind of renewals of this race, and you kind of have to go back a little bit to really find a story, maybe back as far as Thistlecrack, for one that, you know, obviously just a superb performance, but... yeah, it'd be absolutely magical if Splans Terror could do it. But it's not, you know, it's not going over there like some sort of gimme, Jane. You know what I mean? We talk about all these Irish horses travelling over, just need to turn up and tog out. Like, you know, Grey Dawning, he'll definitely improve for his run in the Betfair Chase. Banbridge, an unknown quantity. Like, if Ile Francais turns up the same horse he did last year, I mean, he's a phenomenal horse. Lompresse is coming back in off a decent run. Like, Envoy LN has won last time out in the north. You know, Hewick did it last year. I'm not going to mention Brave Man's Game, but you know, there's plenty.
Well, on that, Jane, right, the race itself, like the aforementioned JP McManus, he gave a fairly rare interview the other day where he alluded to the ground, from what I recall, about Spillane's Tower. This is the big question mark for punters. The ground looks like it'll be give or take good to soft because there's very little rain forecast. When he won at Punchestown, which is arguably his best performance up until this season, the ground was yielding, give or take, in April. So tell us about the ground. It is a massive factor in this race, I feel.
It is, and obviously the drier it is, the more it'll suit the likes of Banbridge and Hewick. So it's not just about us. I don't think the narrative must be clear. Spillane's Tower, we believe, will handle good ground or will handle good to soft ground. It's more a question of it needs to be safe. So I'd imagine there'll be a call made on the morning of the race between my dad and Frank Berry and JP McManus and AP McCoy, if he's over there. I'm sure he will be. When they walk the track, because as we've just alluded to, it's so hard to find these horses I know the King George is an amazing race, but we're not going to risk him on something that is anything other than safe. So while he hasn't contested a race where the ground has been described as good or good to soft, it's not because of a belief that he won't handle it. We do think he will handle it. We do think he has a tactical pace around a sharp Kempton track, because we saw what he did at Fairy House over 2.5 miles last year. He's not a slow horse. We think he has it all in terms of speed and the stamina required. It's more that it needs to be deemed safe. And hopefully, Barney Clifford and his team at Kempton will produce that type of conditions. And this is a King George. If you said in July or August, that the King George is going to have 3 French runners, potentially 4 Irish runners, and a handful of British runners, I would think you're describing the King George at Ascot over a mile and a half.
Nicely done.
Got really international favour. Ile Francais went favourite for this race last year after what he did in the Auto Star Novice. I know he's had issues, but if he puts it together, if he's right on the day, he has the potential to be something special. There has been a supplementary entry made for Juntos Ganamos, who I know nothing about, but David Cotan seems to think he's worthy of it. And General Anchef is in there as well for Noel George, who I don't know if he's up to Ile Francais level, but he's good. And don't forget, L'Empressé runs well fresh. This is a very good race.
We were actually already halfway through the first half of the show, and we've literally discussed one race. Sam Norris from William Hill will be on second half of the show to discuss the odds for this race. Very briefly, Bugsy, what wins the King George?
If the real Ile Francais turns up, I think he wins. I've been as a fan of Grey Dawning. I think the race has now gone a little bit too deep for him. So yeah, I'd hope Ile Francais. I'm sorry, I hope Spillane's Tower wins, of course, Jane, and genuinely do, because racing needs these stories more than anything else. But the performance of Ile Francais in the Côte d'Or last year won't leave me, and I'll stick with him.
I'd be with Banbridge, but if Spillane's Tower does run, I'd give him a favourite chance. Just keep an eye out.
If he runs, he's favourite.
Yeah, and just keep an eye out. Don't necessarily back him yet, because as Jane said, the decision might be quite late, and then if you get the declarations, as I say, on Christmas on the 23rd. So if you have a bet on the 23rd, you'll get your money back if he doesn't run. Right now you won't. So that's kind of the anti-post betting market. The Savills Chase, Jane, you mentioned Fact of File. He's actually disputing favouritism, give or take, with Galloping Deschamps at the moment, renewing rivalry from that epic John Durkin of the ages. Kind of hard enough to know what'll necessarily run in the race otherwise, but even those two alone, that would be a cracker.
Oh, a magic race. Yeah, this is going to be the race of the Irish festive season. I think it is the plan to run I Am Maximus, who is probably a Gold Cup standard horse in a normal year. This mightn't be a normal year for Gold Cup horses, but he's 170 rated all the same. It's a Grand National, but I don't think we can consider Aintree Grand Nationals nowadays like we used to before. Mm. This guy's got a lot of class. Jerry Colomb is better than we saw at Down Royal. I'm absolutely full sure of that. And he's second in the Gold Cup last year. So if there's any frailties in the top two, he could expose them. But I do think he's probably reliant on a little bit slower ground. I'll put this to the pair of ye. Which was a better performance last year from Galloping Deschamps? Was it his win in the Cheltenham Gold Cup beating Jerry Colomb, or was it his decimation of a field in this race last year?
Leopardstown. But the thing is, though, like, the ground was so bad at Cheltenham. Like, it was by Cheltenham standards, that was a slog of a race. And whether I
and to be honest, in that Cheltenham Gold Cup, I thought he was out on his feet in the last 75 yards.
You know, you're talking about your dad and your mother, Jane, visual and, you know, interpretation of what you see. I was watching that race. Admittedly, I wasn't at the track that day. I was watching, like, I'm going to oppose this horse going forward. Staying chasers to stay on the go and maintain their form is so, so difficult year after year. He was obviously beaten twice since. I'm happy to take him on here for all that. I think his performance this last year was actually possibly his best ever.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
What
wouldn't disagree at all? The Fact of File turns up. I think he wins.
He is so exciting. The rest of Leopardstown, we are running out of time a little bit. And we also want to get one word about the Fahey Novice Chase at Limerick. Bally Burns actually looks like he's gone odds on now, so maybe he will run it after all. But I mean, you're looking at the Christmas Hurdle. Home by DeLee, Bob Olinger, so on and so forth. You know, we have the Paddy Power Handicap Chase, which will be a cracker in terms of the future champions novice hurdle, Salvador Mundi, Romeo Coolio. Race I'm actually really looking forward to is the juvenile hurdle. I have my charity bet in that. Gaelic Warrior potentially against Found of 50. I'm actually, this, I want to get your opinion on this. I was on another podcast during the week putting up Marine National each way. Now Barry Connell, he's nothing if not positive about his horses. He told me he schooled at Punchdown after racing the last day at Punchdown. He's very happy with the horse. I'm very keen to take on Gaelic Warrior here, Jane.
Yeah, look, I think it's likely that Paul Townend might go to the UK to ride Ballyburn, which is a major factor for Gaelic Warrior, considering he's a difficult ride, particularly going left-handed. I think he's the best horse in the race, but he has his quirks. Patrick Mullins obviously won the Limerick race on him last year. That was a high-profile race with himself and Danny. But if he were to ride him, that's most likely what's going to happen. Marine National, I totally take on board what Barry has said. He's better than we've seen him, but I kind of have to see it to believe it with him now. Yeah. I don't disagree with you with Found of 50. I think he liked the track and trip. He's better than Navin. He's better than beating Sinekia a length or two. So that's that. I'm looking forward to that. There's so much. I know we're running out of time, but like horses like William Money in a maiden hurdle. Like,
yeah, can't wait to see him.
A very good horse. Brighter Days Ahead versus Stateman. So that's like Constitution Hill versus Lockmouth.
How did I not mention that? Just didn't come up here on the page. That race, personally, I make it roughly 50-50 because she's younger than him. She beat him the last day. And for me, she beat him fair and square. Now, you could say he did lack a run, and maybe, you know, he's trained by Willie Mullins, yada, yada, it doesn't matter. Maybe it did matter a small bit. I thought it was one of the best rides Jack Kennedy will ever give a horse. But, Jane, the bookmakers tend to think... Actually, there's no tend to think. They do think...
It's 4-7, 9-4.
Yeah, it's a strange enough... almost like not a dismissal of her, but like... Basically, this suggestion that he'll just be better than her on the day.
Yeah, I probably think the same, if I'm honest. Yeah.
Why?
I think he's a better horse.
Yeah. Johnny, I think you're going to be outnumbered here because I was about to go. I thought the Stateman would be a little bit bigger than the price he is because I just think he's going to improve in a stone for a bunch of stone run, to be perfectly honest. I would say he was
about. I think his comeback runs in general are.
Comeback runs are a bit flat. I think there were plenty of comments beforehand expressing surprise at the sheer size he came back from his summer holiday. Just the way Willie Mullins trains his horses, the way the weather has been, I would say they got very little into him before Punchestown, but like Willie was always going to start the horses off at Punchestown regardless, and to my eye he just blew up, you know, and then, you know, he was coming there to go and win the race and blew up, and I think he'll strip a lot fitter for it.
We're going off the track here, Jane. I have to mention this just for the crack. Yeah. Because I mean, if I don't mention Constitution Hill, Tom Malone will just never come on the show again. I mean, Constitution Hill, I've never heard more updates about a horse who simply isn't running. But imagine if at Kempton he happened to take on Sergino and Lossiemouth. OMG.
OMG, you are on something, because there's no way Nicky Henderson's running both of those horses. Sergino will end up going over fences in the Wayward Lad, I would venture to say, which is a travesty.
I know, isn't it, right? Isn't it? Like, what a performance he put in.
Just let him run over hurdles. You were after forfeiting half of his novice chase year if you do go over fences now, and straight into a race where you could meet Ballyburn, which I think is a harebrained idea, but anyway, that's just my
hashtag opinion. Send Sergino to Jimmy Mangan.
Lossiemouth will be, for me, I think the best that Constitution Hill has faced, because I don't think Stateman goes to Cheltenham and reproduces what we see at Leopardstown and Punchestown. And we know that he's not infallible because he's put in two pieces of work where I'd run faster. So yeah, I think he's vulnerable. If he turns up the way he has been in the past, he's still only a 7 rising 8-year-old. He's not over the hill. But it is worth noting that she has run more times, she has won more races, and he'll have to give her £7. That's going to be a fascinating race.
Love or future love or whatever, Jane, we're going to have to let you go. What are you looking forward to at Limerick? Very, very briefly.
Two horses to mention, and I hope they, if they go there, just don't be against them. If you're not for them, don't be against them. The big Westerner, big mare of Henry de Bromhead, who won a maiden hurdle at Punchestown, she goes for a grade two, I think, on the 26th. And on the 27th, there's a conditions hurdle there over 2.5 miles, for which I like Carl de Tourel, who ran a really lovely race on Hatton's Grace Day at Fairy House. I think for Philip Fenton, he's an exciting horse going forward.
I think the two of you have impeccable jumpers on today, Jane. You marginally edged in the jumper stakes, yeah. But happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody. And to anybody who's listening, I hope you enjoy it while we're freezing at the races. Or come and join us. Maybe make it even better.
Unfortunately, due to climate change, I think it's going to be quite a mild Christmas. But in any event, that was Jane Mangan. And this is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we believe in you here. If you're looking for more, including our look at Saturday's cards at Ascot, Haydock and Thurles, and the charity bet, which is a 5-1 chance from me, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all our racing tips, insights and stories from this week's action, part two to come.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball.
GAA.
Everybody said they wouldn't win the All-Ireland and they won the All-Ireland.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.